What's going on, good people? This is PR, and you're now listening to the good guys on Winner's Circle Media. Where the party at, fellas?
Ladies and gentlemen, what's poppin'? This is part two of the Good Guys Podcast About Nothing, episode 11. I told you, it's equally as good.
We do what we do, you know, as far as the music, but outside of that, man, like, we really care. And it's funny because we were on a text with Ashley, our manager, the other day, and you text her something that we haven't even spoke about this. You text her something that I have been thinking about. You had texted us, you were like, it's time for us to do something in the community. You remember the text?
I was driving.
Yeah.
Coming back from.
I had thought about that. Like, I heard back to school. I was like, you know, and I forgot to send a text. But it's like, that's what we do, man. We do a lot of great things within the community. You know what I'm saying? Giving back to our community, especially our kids, and especially around the holiday season, and even not in the holiday season, you know, with a lot of, you know, philanthropic things that we do. And that's what it's about, man. You know, like, the music is the gateway and all of that. And the music, yeah, and the DJing is like what I'm most, of course, music, I love it, but what I'm most passionate about right now is running and getting other people healthy and people looking at us and being like, all right, these are young black guys that are getting healthy. And the reason people are looking at that is because I'm DJ Steph Floss. Now, if without that, I would just be, you know, I probably wouldn't have that same audience at that point.
Platform of voice.
Yeah, the platform. So,
that's a perfect segue. Look, I'm born and raised in New York. And I've always told people the most, in my opinion, the most proud people in the world are New Yorkers. The second most proudest people are people from Brooklyn, right? If you ask anyone that's from New York, where are you from? They'll tell you New York. If you ask anyone from Brooklyn, where they're from, they'll Brooklyn, right?
Flat out.
But you guys, and I say you guys, you know, all of my Cleveland brethren, you know, in Ohio as a whole, you guys have, like, such a love for your city. You guys have such a, like, authentic, like, you know. And I've never told you guys this, like, you know, when we started Winner's Circle Media, you know, I started it as I've done anything I've really cared about, just reaching out to my friends, right? And being like, yo, I have this platform, I want you to get down and, you know, do your thing. You know, if it's mine, it's yours. My proudest moment in creating Winner's Circle Media, and look, if you guys are listening to this show, you're probably familiar with it, maybe not, but like Victor Cruz has a show, Karen Civil has a show, you know, there's a couple of dope shows on the network. My proudest moment from creating this was, I don't know if you guys remember, was the show you guys were doing, and you heard there was a rally outside, and stopped your show.
It was right here.
And went and joined the rally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I say all that to say, like, where does it come from? Like, you guys are, like, really, a lot of people talk, you guys are, like, really in the community. Like, you do a run, you guys do charity, you guys give out turkeys, like,
y'all Nino Brown.
And, like, talk to me about that, like, what Cleveland means to y'all and what you think, like, as influencer, such a watered down word these days, but like y'all role with like the Cleveland community is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about the like the influencer role. Like it's so funny because it's like I'm gonna get to that, but like with the influencer, it's like people could be influencers and that's dope, but like real influencers are not calling themselves influencers. Absolutely. That's kind of weird. Like I would never.
I've seen people with their Twitter bio.
Yeah, like an influencer. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Because yeah, now, yeah, yeah. Now if I'm just a consumer, I'm looking at you like, so you think you could just
right,
make me
right.
Do it or whatever? You know, like, right. What are you talking about? Right. Like, but man, it's just our city, man. I love our city, man. We come from one of the greatest cities in the world. I believe the greatest city in the world because I'm not from New York and everybody from New York thinks everybody else just doesn't exist. But seriously, like our city is great. And we've been counted out a lot, man. And it's crazy because a lot of it comes from the hurdle we just got over it, which is sports. Like people have been making jokes about us for years because of the Browns, because of the Indians, because of, you know, just the Cavs because of all of our sports teams. But we had a river caught on fire, like water caught on fire in Cleveland. Like we had different, all kinds of different stuff like that happened to us, and people always counted us out. And it's still to this day.
Like people be like, "What's in Cleveland?"
Yeah, you invite somebody to Cleveland. What's the dude in Cleveland? It's a major city. What do you mean? Anything you do in anywhere?
We got
top chefs here. We got Dante. We got Michael Simon. Like, what are you?
I tell people all the time, and they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, Cleveland's one of the only cities that I know of. I'm sure there are others out there, but that I have personally experienced that you can stay in one hotel and walk to a professional baseball game,
right.
an Indians game, you can walk to a Cavs game, and you can walk to a Browns game.
Right.
There's not many cities you can do that in terms of like a sports city. You know, I always, you guys are such proud people. You know, the running joke with Mav and I is, you know, Maverick Carter, who is my business partner, he always, you can't have a regular conversation with Mav without him bringing Ohio into it. You can say anything. I don't care what it is. Like, wow, like it's really raining hard outside. And he'd be like, you know, Cleveland has the largest rainforest. It could be anything. Yo, you heard about that? You saw the space shuttle went up? I said, you know, Ohio has the most astronauts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got. No, we do, yeah, though. We do. We do, so I said, we do have the most astronauts.
See what I mean, people? You see what I mean? You see what I got? You see what I got to deal with?
Presidents.
You know, like, so.
Presidents as well, yeah.
But I think you guys, and I mean this in a good way, you guys definitely have a chip on your shoulder for your city. Not personally, for your city. You feel your city doesn't get the respect it deserves.
That's maybe all. That's all. That's exactly it.
Our slogan is rep local, think global. You know, like, and when I started DJing, people used to always, because we've had some amazing and some dope DJs that's been from Cleveland, and I grew up listening to it in the radio, and you know, just times were different then. They didn't have the platform, especially that we have via social media and via the internet and technology, and they may not have been able to reach their maximum potential. And I always said, man, for those guys, like, I want us to, like what Hov say, like, I'm doing this, you know what I'm saying, for the Cold Crush Brothers, you know what I'm saying, for the, you know, like, things like that. It's like, I never, people are like, man, like, you got the potential to be, like, the greatest DJ in the history of Cleveland. I'm like, that's cool, but that's not my goal, man. Like, I want to be, like, one of the greats in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you strive for something, like when you strive for something, once you get there, you can become stagnant. So it's like if I strive to become the greatest DJ or whatever in Cleveland, once I feel like I'm there, then that's it. It's like, all right, well, I'm there and now I'm the man. I get in, yeah, you know, boom, boom, boom. But now it's like there's an entire world outside of Cleveland that needs to know who you are, and that's what we do. So, you know, a lot of the dopest events that we do, honestly, are outside of Cleveland. But when we do those events, they know, like, Steph is from Cleveland, Mill is from Cleveland, these guys are from Cleveland. Like, God, like, Cleveland,
we got
it's
that
busy.
Too. We got it, too.
Yeah, like, yes.
We got what y'all got.
Yeah, so, and that's what we do. We rep local, but we think global.
Let me ask you, does the city feel any different after the chip, since the championship?
Yes.
The energy.
You know what happened? Did we talk about this? We had
ran out of steam on the party side.
No.
We went so hard
on the party.
Smoking crack.
Maybe just had a condom.
By the way, they're not talking about me. They're talking about, it's a TV show. American Dad is only watch one channel, TBS. But the city was on fire as far as celebrating. We had party, you know, we were tired. I mean, we're still celebrating. But what happened was, I think me and Kilt just talked about that. It wasn't necessarily, it's not even like, so people would start thinking like, all right, when KD decided to go to OKC, that takes steam away from Cleveland's championship talks. And like, no, what happened was I was in, and this is not a cap, I was actually in, I was in Italy at the time. I was in Milan at the time. When things started changing, I was in Milan, and what happened was
he was working.
No, I was actually drinking some vino at this at this moment. but seriously, what happened was Cleveland were on fire, the parade, everybody's hype. I'm tweeting every day, I'm posting Brian and the championship trophy every day. Boom, 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 boom. Go to Italy. One of the day, maybe second day, I'm over in Milan. The police shooting happened with the big guy in New Orleans,
yep.
Not Fernando Castillo.
I know what you're talking about. Forget his name, though.
And rest in peace to that guy. And then after that happened, the Castillo shooting happened. And then after that happened, the police shoot,
yeah,
like the,
yeah,
when
so
the police,
bad 10
that,
days. Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like,
really bad 10 days.
And that was around the time where we're still excited, but it's like, you got to be socially conscious, yeah. And you know what I'm saying? So you feel wrong celebrating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, that happened. And then it was like, all right, we're happy for this, but this sucks and this needs to change and we got to figure out a way to change this. And like, you know what I'm saying? I don't really want to be cracking jokes about this when this is a, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was that situation and those situations which really changed the energy from our, you know, and then they trying to create a super team over there on the West Coast, which, you know, don't mean nothing, but, you know.
I'll say this. I've grown to love Cleveland, and you guys always show me amazing hospitality when I'm here as my family. We're in Cleveland recording this show right now. You guys do not have any clue how to throw a parade, though.
Look. It's been what? What is it? 52 years.
I don't know what that was.
Yo, so that I'm at the man, look.
It was totally unprepared.
So I'm at the Mercedes.
Here you go.
No.
Finish your statement. Finish your statement.
Shout out to Bernie Moreno. I'm at the Mercedes. The day before the parade, I'm at the Benz lot. Don't worry about that. So I'm talking to Bernie. He's like, he was like, he was like, it's funny you're up here. I'm sending a bunch of cars down for the parade.
He texted me.
I'm like, how are we doing this? I'm like, cars? What are you? He's like,
floats.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Parades I know have floats. Yeah. And like, so what are you sending? I'm like, so where are they going to take the cars to the floats? And I'm texting Pete. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with the parade, man. I'm like, Bernie's talking about he's sending drop head Phantoms and drop top Porsches. I'm like, what the heck? So, but as you can see, what happened with the parade.
And by the way, Floss sent me a text because he knows I know a thing or two about parades. New York Giants, New York Yankees. We have it all the time. So,
here we go. So, you know, y'all saw what happened with the parade. There were some floats and there were some, some of the players and families and friends within, like, you know, the luxury cars. And, like, Brian was in the drop head and all of that, boom, boom, boom. We'll talk about that in a second. But I was back at the dealership after the parade the next day. And, I was telling him, I was like, man, the parade, like, the cars look nice, man, you know. They look great in the parade. He said, Steph, unfortunately, they didn't all come back great. I said, oh, but it was because people were could touch them. It was no barricade. So jeans and anything could scratch up, belts could scratch up, kids. It was
interior,
right?
Feet footprints. And
I've never seen a parade like that. I mean,
it was no barricades.
Cars were crawling, no barricades. What was that picture I saw of people outside a building?
That was this parking garage right next door. They were scaling the building like Spider-Man.
So like
they would do this. So what was going on? Hold on, I'm just demonstrating. So if this is a parking garage, this was a little area that they could walk into.
Okay.
And then they would step out here on that.
So like there's nothing underneath them, but.
Well, it was something like this.
Like a small ledge.
For their feet. And they had their hands on this and their feet on that. This high up.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm cool.
That's crazy. I ain't never seen anything like that. I mean, y'all had, I think the figure you guys gave was a very modest one. Y'all had over 1 million people out
there. No, they said 1.3, but I really think it was closer to 2.
I've never seen anything like that. You couldn't. The cars were getting swallowed up by the people. You couldn't see.
And stuff. We talked
so
about
question,
it.
What happened if the Browns win?
It's going to be 10 million people. Well, by the way, Cleveland is a football town. Everybody that's listening.
The thing is, we don't got to worry about that in our lifetime.
Oh, hi, God. So listen to this. So I was saying I didn't want to say it during the parade, but I'm like, that had a recipe that something not so good could happen during.
Yeah.
That I mean,
nobody,
I didn't.
Everybody was cool.
But that's what I was saying. That's the testament of when we say we needed this championship and this was going to be so great. People don't understand, like, with the show that came on TV. What's the joint? The 34th. What was it called? Believeland. People don't really understand how that really affects Clevelanders. Like, man, that really, like, that's.
Well, and not even to mention, sorry to cut you off, but you guys had, like, some unfortunate things happen here with police, like, this past year, right?
Yeah, that's why we were.
March or not. So, like, when you talk about timing, so, like, as if the drought, right, as they were calling it, wasn't bad enough.
Right.
As a community, you guys had a lot of stuff.
You got Tamir Rice, all kind of stuff.
So the timing of it, like, when you talk about healing a city or at least having something positive for a community, the timing probably could have been better.
So it was perfect, and that just shows you how much love It's like nobody was going to do anything stupid that they don't care how close they could get to Bron, Vanna, the, you know, the boys. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? Zuri, it doesn't matter. Nothing's going to happen. We're not, the fans aren't going to let each other do anything stupid. Right. Like, this is what we're here for. This is, you know what I'm saying? So it was all.
Why can't we just live like that all the time? Why can't the world just live like that all the time, though? Like, I honestly, like.
It seems like such a simple thing. Simple. Right? Like,
it's simple.
Unfortunately.
It's crazy, man.
Let's give every city a championship.
I mean, but you know, right now we're the champions, and that's what it is.
You said it couldn't happen.
They said it couldn't happen. They said it never happened before 3-1. They said Bron had lost a step or two. He was he had lost it. What else did they say? I think they said there was a new face of the NBA.
That's what they said.
They said it was a new face of the NBA.
You're rigged.
They said it was rigged. Y'all saw who said it was rigged. They said it was
some run the house.
Very true.
They said it was rigged. You know, they said we could never do it, but we did it. At what point did you know we were going to win it?
When Bron made that free throw. I'm talking to put us up by four.
The second one?
For like 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
I stood up.
That was it.
I didn't know how to react.
Right.
I like start pacing like.
Literally, when Kyrie hit the three, I looked up to the Lord. I said, please don't take this away from us. Because I've seen bad stuff. Jose Mesa was the worst, I think, ever. Like, he was the best closer.
So before this, where like Cleveland, there's like. Glass half empty, like expecting it not to go well. Like, was
no,
like,
we're just
yeah. No, like, we you used to something.
So we just a lot of people. Like, we're not gonna like just because we.
But
used
like,
to
but shit happening. But for us, and especially like a person like myself, I have to put off that positive energy.
So,
like, I really feel like that, but I have to.
So that's a great point. One, you know, we always joke, and we were talking about this, you know, off the mic before the show about the cardinal sin on social media's reacting to anything negative. The only thing I've seen either of you and both of you react to, if you can call it that, is when people say it's over, or when people said Cleveland stinks, or people any of the sports. That's the one time I've ever seen
you guys chime in. That's crazy. That's probably when we only do it.
Right? And you're like, come on, guys. Like, let's stay together. You guys are like, why is that? Like, you guys are like super positive to like any negativity from Cleveland towards Cleveland.
Well, I
think it's just more so not even just the city. But I'm a big believer in the energy you put out is what you give back. So, you know what I'm saying? It's being mad and negative all the time does you absolutely no good, but keep you mad and negative. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
and I was so aggravated when I came back. We were down 2-0. I came back from Golden
State. To go to the game.
Huh? No, we're talking about that. We were down 0-2 to Golden State, and I remember coming. I remember coming back here, and I'm downtown. It's the NBA Finals. I'm walking into my place. I went crazy. I didn't see any wine and gold, anything, pee on the streets. Like, no people with wine and gold stuff. I'm looking at the businesses.
What game is this?
After game two.
Oh, wow.
I come back. Downtown is, like, bare. It's no wine and gold, nothing. There's no gold calves, nothing in the immediate area that I'm in. I'm seeing people in regular clothes. Mind you, I'm just coming back from Golden State. Everybody blue and yellow. Right. Everything.
If you remember the team hotel, even across the street, the business signs like "Go Golden State,"
right.
And it was nothing down here. I made a video. I was so mad. I made a video. I'm like, what are y'all doing? I'm like, it's only two games. They did what they were supposed to do. We got the next two games at home. I'm making a video, and the reactions I saw, people like, Steph, you know what? You're right. And then I saw some of the business right next door. They saw what I was doing, and they put up Go Cavs. So I'm like, yes, man. Like, trust me, the boys need that energy. If they were to look, because regardless of what you think, they're on that social media. You know what I'm saying? And they're seeing, and if it's looking dry, and it's looking like we think they're hopeless and all of that, then, you know, we can't have them thinking that. But
what did you guys do the minute that buzzer sounded and Cleveland was 2016 NBA champion?
Called my mom and cried like a baby.
I
cried like a baby.
I just ran in the kitchen and yelled. That was nothing major.
My mother called me. I was sitting Because I didn't go to the game.
I called my parents, too.
I didn't go to the game because Mill wouldn't let me go to the game, y'all.
And we won.
Yeah.
But thank me.
I sat there, and I was crying like... I was already crying, and then I'm looking at Bron. He's crying, and it's making me cry more, and I got snot coming out of my nose. I'm like, man, he really did it. I'm like, we really did it.
I asked Dante Jones, where was he running to, by the way?
Oh, where was it?
He just took off like Usain Bolt.
He said he was going to get Coach Lou.
Like he's going to get Coach Lou.
Coach Lou had ran down there already. And yeah. It was like he was going to get him, make sure he was good.
But what you would call it? So Tristan's story in Toronto, Rich just told us, he said Tristan had told him that they were so locked into the game that they didn't, like Tristan, like he didn't realize they won until he saw Bron hugging Kevin Love. He was like, he was still in game mode. And he was like, he saw Bron hugging Kevin Love. He's like, oh, we did it. It's over. And that's what I'm like, that's crazy. Like, so I forgot. Yeah, I seen Dante running. That's crazy. But
I mean, he took off like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, but I cried like a baby. Then went outside and it was crazy. And it was great because the police and everybody, the citizens were all together. Like, the citizens took over like a fire truck, an ambulance.
Fire truck.
And we're just, and they just let them party on.
So how?
They were just like, y'all not tearing nothing up. Guess what? We're as happy as y'all. Go ahead and party, man. Just don't tear nothing up.
So how is it in New York when you guys went? Like what? I mean, you know, you guys do have a couple champs, so it's just like, nothing.
So y'all got
not a big deal, or?
It's less of a big deal. It's less of a big deal because they've been, you know, all jokes aside, a number of championships, but right. I think it's big in those communities. So, like, Yankees win, the Bronx is on fire, people go crazy, and Yankee fans go crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a city go crazy like you guys
right.
do, right? Like, you see that on college campuses.
Right.
Someone wins a national championship. Like, sports means so much down here, from college football to the pros to baseball, football, basketball.
Ohio.
Right? Like, it means so much. And then having not won for so many years, I've never seen a city react like you guys.
I was going to say, it's
that
probably
a beautiful
won't,
thing to watch.
There probably won't be a celebration because who else has the closest drought like this?
Cubs.
Oh, you know I'm a Cubs fan. Oh, I just got goosebumps. If they do it, yeah, no, the Cubs, it'll go crazy.
Cubs. Let's keep it on sports. So who is your favorite New York athlete?
Of all time?
All time.
And why?
Wow.
You asking me or the PR?
PR.
That's a huge statement of all time.
Who you look, you know, you could have been somebody when you was a kid or...
Hold on, let them think. Who is yours as a non-New Yorker? Because I got one.
So I already,
from New York?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, that plays for
so
New York
I
team.
I got mine.
Oh, you do? All right, my father, you had to think.
No.
Let me think.
The greatest defensive player ever to play
LT.
The game. That's Lawrence Taylor.
LT?
I don't know about that. Greatest defensive player ever.
No, I didn't stutter. The greatest defensive player
at his position?
Deion Sanders is the greatest defensive player.
Lawrence Taylor was the most dominant
Deion Sanders was shut to half the field. I don't care if it was Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. It's nothing happening over here, boss.
So let's be clear. Let's be clear.
Nothing.
I'm a huge Deion fan.
I saw LT break Joe Thais' legs. I remember that as a kid.
Nah, but LT for me, what it meant, because LT embodied that New York spirit of, you know, everyone's seen the quote, we're going to go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs, right? Like, so for me, it was just, you know, very similar. Although people think like New York and Cleveland are so different and whatnot. Very similar, you know, lunch pail, put your hard hat on. You know, you've seen New York in the past embrace teams that weren't great teams, but at least played hard, right? So LT embodied that. Every game, every quarter, every down, he played like it was his last down. So for me, it was that. Like, that was like the heyday of the Giants.
Random thought. How the hell is the Giants in the NFC?
Yeah,
because you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I hate y'all because I'm a Buffalo guy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the Buffalo, you're like, y'all like, how the hell is the Giants in the NFC?
That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, we have the best wide receiver
come from somewhere?
In the game right now, too. By the way, let me know if
did
you
they
want
come
to discuss
from.
That. No. It's always been New York, and they play in New Jersey. So go figure. But
that's weird.
You said you got the best
wide receiver in the game right now in the Giants.
I agree, Victor Cruz.
No, Odell Beckham.
But let me tell you this. Three years ago, who was the best wide receiver in the league?
3 years ago, who was the best wide
He's
receiver?
Back.
Oh, yeah, boy.
He's back.
JG.
Keep him in the club, man.
I like it.
Keep him out of rumor.
Right, like it.
Keep him out.
You know what? You know what? You know what's hold on. You know what's special? No, you know what's special about Josh Gordon, man? I know he had his off the field incidents, but deep down, he's a good guy, man. No pun intended. He was literally, you don't remember this, and rest in peace, Biz. Our guy Biz got murdered not too long ago, man. Rest in peace, Biz. But him and JG, they were surprising me. They were at the finish line for the first marathon I did that I didn't finish.
Just randomly?
Yeah. Like, Biz was filming a documentary. Biz was filming a documentary, so he was going to be there, you know, to catch my moment, but I wasn't there. And then Josh, you know, that's his guy and my guy, he was like, I knew you were running, so I wanted to be there to support. So they were at the finish line.
Wow.
So I was like, that's crazy.
Oh, we play y'all this year?
Here. November 27th. That's like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving
Sunday. We might have to make an event out of this.
Listen, yes to that little friendly wager.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. We can do that.
We can do a case of Duce versus a case of Tito's or something.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Case of Flow. Yeah. Case of Duce versus a case of Flow.
I'm with it. Done and done. Here. The 27th.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They play the Jets.
Then we play the Jets here on so you'll be like, here for my weekend.
Are you a Jets?
Giants fan.
How does
Giants,
that work?
Giants fan.
Jets, real, what's the difference?
Real New Yorkers, you got to like one team.
So the Mets or the Yankees?
Mets or Yankees.
Yeah. You definitely look like a Yankee.
I'm a Mets fan.
You are?
I'll tell you why, because I lived in Queens.
So would it be crazy if they won? If the Mets won, would it be?
If the Mets won, it'd be crazy. But not even as crazy as the Cavs, because the Mets won in 86.
Right.
So, you know, so Doc, my point is,
Doc and the boys.
Hell of a 30 for 30.
And listen, them boys, man.
I can't believe it. No,
you
ever do that
story
to
about
you.
How Doc missed the parade?
Yeah, well, I said, well, I saw it.
Yeah, so he. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Bron not being at the parade? Like, just think about that for a second. Like, they won. He goes to a crack house. He says he's going there just to get a little fix. He said, next thing he knows, it seems like it's 15 minutes. He looks up. Someone tells him, hey, isn't that your team on TV? And he looks up, and they're going down the, you know, Avenue of Americas, Avenue of Heroes or whatever, Canyon of Heroes, and he's in a crack house while the parade's going on. He was the best player on the team, him and Straw, like... It was
nothing.
Yeah, so the city went crazy for the 86 Mets. Still nothing compared to you guys. Nothing compared to
Cubs will probably be the closest right now.
How did you feel when Pat Ewing missed that finger roll?
Yeah, it's I mean, he just took me back.
By the way, he traveled.
By the way, first of all, everyone travels. Yeah, I think it still haunts him. That and Charles Smith, pump fake.
Charles Smith, what are you doing?
I'll go a step further.
What about Reggie?
I'll get to that in a second.
By the way, whatchamacallit, Pippen didn't foul Hubert Davis on that three. Remember that? No, he didn't. He didn't.
Great call, ref. I'll go a step further. So, it's not a big thing, so I know he won't mind. But Victor Cruz, who's a friend of mine, a friend of yours, he's, you know, part of the fam. Victor told me he bought his house, right? So his first house with his real money, and I was real excited for him. And I was like, oh, wow, like, that's dope. I can't wait to see it. He goes, guess whose house it is? I said, whose? He says, Charles Smith. I said, I will not be visiting. That's how deep those lines go. I did not want to go visit his house. So he bought Charles Smith's crib. But, yeah, I mean, Reggie.
Did he just try to get too fancy?
I think he was
trying to get Spanish Africa.
I think he was surprised he was that open. I mean, he got to the paint, took them big two steps, and he was like, oh, do I dunk it? Do I roll
was it?
Do
a Euro?
I...
It might have been one of the first Euro. I don't, he got open. How was he that open?
I mean, we have our moments too, right? Like, we have our, like that, missing that, that's haunted us. To your point, Reggie scoring, you know, the points has haunted us. Charles Smith, the pump fake, has haunted us. There's definitely moments in New York City history. John Starks going 3 for 17.
He had a great playoff.
You know what? But this is why, till this day, I still mess with Pat Riley. I still give him props. He told me to keep shooting it. Like, you got us this far. Keep shooting it. So, but that haunts us till this day. So we have. Listen, that's the beauty of sports. Like, you live and die. I have a friend who's like a brother. His name's Eggy. He's my son's uncle, my childhood friend. If the Giants lose, he calls out of work. Like, he's, like, physically ill 50%. And 50% is he doesn't want to deal with people giving him shit because he knows or people know how much he loves the Giants. So, like, that's the beautiful thing about sports. These vegan chips.
No. I'm sorry. We got these for you in Toronto when we were there. When was that?
Ketchup potato chips?
Yeah, taste it.
Hold
taste
on.
We're going to taste it on air. Taste it. Boss.
When did we
did talk about this.
And I forgot to give them to you because we came back.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Steph Flossett just handed me a bag of Lay's chips, December 26th. I'm gonna assume that's 2016.
Yeah.
Lay's potato chips, but they're Lay's ketchup.
They're Toronto. So we were in Toronto for who were we in Toronto for? Probably a game or something.
I want to see this.
I'm gonna try.
Y'all hear this? And P had never had the chips, so Mill had mentioned it.
They're good.
They're good.
I told you.
So we was like, we're gonna buy him a bag of chips and give them to you, but we never ended up, you know what I'm saying?
Lay's ketchup potato. Who put y'all onto these? How y'all like find these? Like,
oh, they're so good, man. Homegirl,
like, it actually tastes like a barbecue. Like
a homegirl of ours.
Define homegirl.
Homegirl of ours was.
Who, Mill?
I'm just, you know.
The facts of the facts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mill was a little under the weather one time when we went to Toronto. I remember. Well, he was under the weather when we were there, or because
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was under the weather, and a homegirl of ours came through with a care package, and you know, it was like some medicine, some juices, and some like different Toronto good things you can only get in Toronto, and some of these chips. We're part of
like,
them.
What is like? I'm not eating these.
Delicious, better than poutine.
Crack the bag open.
And speaking of Toronto, are we back on New Hope King? Are we back on that, or are we not?
During the day.
Only when the sun up.
Not necessarily safe when the sun goes down.
No, it's not safe.
Only when the sun up.
Listen, I very rarely get angry. I love y'all like brothers. The only time I've ever been angry at both of y'all simultaneously, y'all sold me this song and dance about how we were never going there again. I didn't go, and then I checked one of y'all Instagrams, and y'all on there like a mixtape cover. Y'all had just eaten there, and I had just finished some room service. I was sick.
During the day, so New Hope King during the day, that's our, you know.
So special.
Wings and chicken corn soup.
It's so special, though.
We do that during the day, you know.
You vegan? What, they got vegan stuff there?
Rice. Rice and the whatchamacallit, rice and everything.
You laughing like you don't
really
know
vegan. Don't let this man listen. We not gonna do that. No broccoli.
I ain't gonna say nothing.
You're not buying it.
I ain't gonna say that.
What happens in Toronto?
If it don't happen in this country,
what happens in Toronto?
Okay.
So, I mean, what do I think? Is that it, guys?
This show about 3 hours, by the way.
That's cool.
I mean,
he can part two this.
We can do that.
If you want to, you know, separate this and do a part two, we can, you know, I mean, this was a long time coming, but you see what's going on. We might not want to mention this, but you see, I finally got that one. I left that one blank for a minute.
All right, before we go, it's y'all show. What are y'all excited about? What's coming up? What are y'all doing individually as a group? Cleveland? Any projects? You got a mixtape. Talk about that.
Mixtape. Shout out. So, it's so crazy. So, a lot of times with anything, a lot of us get stagnant and get complacent. And I was like, man, like when I was in college, I used to really put out mixtapes like my life depended on it. But, you know, I've been busy. I mean, you know, I've gotten more busy, you know, as things have grown and all of that pause. But I was just like, I haven't put a mixtape out in a minute. And, you know, they have this every, you know, Kanye started it. You know, I feel like Kanye, he has the merch. And then, you know, we got the I Feel Like Bron tees. Big shout out to Ilthy. So I was like, I'm like, you know what? It was in the middle of the night. It was like midnight. I was like, I want to put a mixtape out. I was like, I want to put it out tomorrow.
Wait, so you decided, you thought, I want to put a mixtape out, and then it was like, I want to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Wow. With some Duce involved. So I'm sitting there, I'm like,
normally.
So I start.
My equipment got damn near bagged up yesterday with Duce. He's never, ever, ever.
I get back up
to the booth, I'm like, damn, everything, with cords was wrapped up.
I'm looking out for my guy.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna drop the mixtape out of nowhere. I was gonna call it Out of Nowhere. And then I was like, all right, so let me just hit up some artists that I know. Cause like the mixtapes I've been doing and we've been doing recently have been just like centralized about Cleveland artists. And I was like, all right, that's cool, but it's more music than that. So let me put a real mixtape out like I usually do. So I was like, I hit up some artists. I'm like, put a mixtape out tomorrow, I need a song. Put a mixtape out tomorrow, I need a song. Freestyle something. They all came through immediately. Got the song, got on Ableton.
Wait, so it's original music?
Yeah, a lot of songs were exclusive to the mixtape. Yeah. So So I put, you know, I worked on it all night, middle of the night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, went to sleep, woke up, finished it in the morning, and put it out. And I was like, I'm gonna call it Out of Nowhere. And then I was like, And then I was like, I need a dope title for it. And I was scrolling something, I saw a picture of me with the I Feel Like Bron T. And I was like, I feel like Clue. I like, that's what I'm gonna call it, DJ Clue. I'm like, legend. Like there's like he's a legend. And there's no
people that may not know, like, tell people what like Clue meant in the mixtape game.
Clue meant everything.
I'm getting clued. I'm going right to Fab. You going? That's the first.
The first five tracks.
First thing I'm going to
on the Clue. They were that covered it. So his intro, you never know who's going to be it. Maybe the Locks over the Fiesta beat. Ooh. And maybe Fab 18 or something.
Mm-hmm. So Swiss beats over something crazy.
But these, by the way, these are Cleveland kids talking about this. This is how we grew up.
I would have to go get them from like Dolls Rapid Creation. Like I would have to be in the spot. But oh shit, some new Clue came.
And my brother was, you know, he was doing his thing, so he was back and forth to New York all the time, and he knew I loved the tape, so he would always DJ Clue, DJ Absolute, the kid Big Mike. He come through with all of them tapes for me, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. So I was like, there's really not anybody like putting the mixtapes out there like that right now. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do an ode to DJ Clue and I'm gonna put a mixtape out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Clue-ish. And I just said, I feel like Clue. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's like,
did you send it to him?
No, I haven't sent it to him yet. It was crazy because I wanted it to get the numbers first.
Gotcha.
I wanted it to get the numbers first because...
Get your numbers.
Yeah, because somebody was like, I'm like, he ain't going to feel away, but I'm like, he needs to understand. It's like, I'm not saying I'm him. This is an right. Old... Like, right. This is...
Right. You're it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
when it comes to that mixtape game, like, he's like...
He went platinum. He was the first one to go platinum. A DJ. Yeah, he got a deal.
Clue, man.
Yeah, so just dropped the mixtape, but I'm excited about Mill going back to school. He's going back.
Supposedly Friday.
This Friday?
Oh, that's the day when the staff goes back without
it. Monday they're back at it.
Oh, what grade do you teach? What do you teach?
It's ninth grade. I work with special education. So you know, kids who have trouble making the right decisions.
Okay.
Usually ninth grade is usually all boys.
You'd be a cool teacher. I have no teachers that look like you or kind of talk like.
But you know what he does? He brings us there to talk to him.
He actually asked me. I told him, I'm gonna come and speak to him.
Yeah, he brings us there. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. You wouldn't think they would be as responsive as they are, but they really like, man, I was on a panel yesterday and somebody brought it up. It's like, man, at the end of the day, kids want consistency and they want people to, like, they want to know that you'll really be there for them. And they've had people turn their backs on them so many times that it's like, all right, well, you just feed me whatever. You're going to be going out here. You're not going to care.
Yo, super quick story. I've tried my entire career to like go and speak at schools and speak at boys clubs and all that stuff. 1 year. This lady asked me to go speak at this camp. It's probably like 45 minutes from New York. It's like in Westchester. Can you come speak to these kids? Kind of like this. Kids that are trying to, they live there, trying to get their life together. And they're like teenagers. So I said, okay, no problem. So you guys know me for years now. I'm ripping and running. I'm late. I'm running late from a meeting. There's traffic. It's rush hour. I'm supposed to be at 7.
You didn't take the helicopter?
We're not going to do that.
We're
not going to do that today.
I was just saying.
So I'm on the West Side Highway. It's 6:45. I'm at least an hour away. I'm supposed to be at 7.
Ooh.
So I call the lady. I said, look, Ms. James, I'm sorry. It's traffic. It was late. Can we just reschedule? You know, I don't want to be late. Just want to give you a heads up. Thinking she'd be like, okay, no problem. She goes, no problem, Paul. You know, totally understand. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm telling the driver.
Here it comes.
I'm telling the driver, like, turn the car around. We're good. She goes, these kids have been disappointed their entire life. What's one more disappointment?
Oh.
We'll be there in 45 minutes. Like, keep going, driver. Went there. But to your point, these kids mostly, they want to know someone cares.
Right. That
gives a shit that they exist and that they're trying to do the right thing, and you'll be surprised at the results. So
my thing is, I just want them to know that there's people that look just like them that don't shoot, dunk, rap on the mic,
throw touchdown successful passes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the only way to be successful.
And you know what you could teach them this year? I was on the panel, the Real Black Friday yesterday, and my guy Jeff Johnson, y'all might know him, Cousin Jeff from BET.
I had him come in.
He's a great speaker, one of the great speakers.
Cleveland Heights.
But he brought up a good point. He was like, there are a lot of things that the kids like they see, but they don't understand. All right, so I'll say this. I'll say it in a better term. So they might want to be rappers or producers. So they just want to rap or produce. But guess what? You don't even have to do that. You can get heavy check by, you can produce this jingle for McDonald's. Because like David Banner has done a song like for McDonald's. Pusha T did the I'm Loving It.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we all like, I'm loving it. We don't know where that came from. It came from Pusha T, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't have to be this rapper in the forefront or this producer that's so in the forefront. You can still produce those same kind of tracks, because guess what? These companies need to appeal to our demographic however they can at this point, because we're like $1.3 trillion buying, you know what I'm saying, power. So they got to sell to us. So, you know what I'm saying? But you could start telling the kids, like, it's other stuff you can do. If you want to be a basketball player, all right, it might not work out for you. But guess what? You could be an analyst. You could be a trainer. Mm-hmm. You could be a shooting coach. You could be
scout,
this and that. You know what I'm saying? And you'll still be part of this arena that you want to be a part of.
Right. I just think it's dope, man. I know we're running long on this show, and we probably will have to make it part one and two. So right. Whatever.
Maybe three.
Producer E's going to flip his shit when he sees the length of this show. But I think it's dope. Look, when I was coming up, we looked up to Dope Boys.
Right.
Because they had the fly cars, they had the jewelry, they had the Rolexes, and they had the pretty ladies on their arm. So the fact that, you know, the younger generation can look at us and see you, and you got a nice car, and you live in a nice place, and you DJ, or you're a teacher and you DJ, or I do the marketing thing, or Mav does the management thing, or Rich does the agent thing. It's like, oh shit, like, to your point, I don't gotta be able to slam dunk,
right,
or catch a touchdown pass, or, you know, rock the mic or whatever. Right. So I think even that alone puts us ahead. I think what we could do a better job of is closing the loop and coming and actually speaking to them and seeing, like, oh, I'm no different than you. It's just my grind was a little different or whatever the case is. So I think that's super dope.
Like, man, what I want to eventually do, I kind of want to do like a center to teach kids how to DJ, do videography, photography, studio engineer. Because I know for here in Cleveland, it's really not a big market for that. But just imagine if you start doing something like that when you're 10 and you're 11, you go off to school.
Right.
By the time you're 20, you're like a studio engineer.
Master, right.
It's like you start studio engineering learning when you're like 12, 13, 14 years old.
Right.
By the time you get 19, 20, you're going to be ridiculously nice. And it's
because kids are smart these
right.
days. Very
and
smart.
And that's a good profession, too, like in the music
good
industry.
Point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Point.
So, like, those are professions that we might should start focusing on a little more.
Like I told you, you can count on me for whatever you need, man. So I'm here for that. My last question for y'all is, you know, I ask you this about every 2 or 3 months for us. 2 in the morning, you already know I'm going with this. In the club, it's
up?
Time to go. What are y'all dropping? And it
two
might
things.
Not be the same song. Y'all
two things. It depends. Right now, it depends.
Give me a club demo.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm giving you, we're trying to, like, the bottles, the fly, everything just came to spark, and we're
shit.
Trying to go. We're
shit,
trying to go
shit.
To that next level.
It depends on what I've been doing.
How are we flipping this shit upside down?
It depends with city, because
we know for the past 3 years it was like the intro with Meek, right?
Right, right, right.
That's why I was
at
it.
Last 2 years, March Madness.
March Madness. But
okay.
I've been in a different zone lately, man.
Talk to me.
Like
I may
said,
go
bottles.
I may go controller, man.
Really?
The ladies, man.
Ooh,
come on, don't act like you don't win that them bottles and we in Toronto and controller. Come on, think about it, man. Like
Okay.
Like, now, if it's that demo, controller. Like,
okay.
Controller. Like, the women gonna go crazy. You know what I'm saying? But if it's like Rumor,
yep,
or Live, or, you know.
What's
stuff?
The spot we did in Toronto this year that Bron hosted?
Cabana.
No. Not the pool party. The
Maison.
All right,
if it's
Maison,
that.
2:30 in the morning, what you dropping? And then I'm coming to you, man.
I'm trying to think. What did I drop? It's crazy because you can still do.
You can still do
March Madness, but new song.
I got two.
You know what? I might go a little Uzi Money Long. I'm trying to hold on. Let me think. Oh, right now. If
so
I,
you went control on one. Give me one, man.
That's for the late. That's if the late. You know, it's a
too much sauce.
Too much sauce.
Lil Uzi. I was thinking Lil Uzi, Too Much Sauce, or Drake for free.
For free? It's about the women, man.
Mm.
Like, seriously, like, for free. Like, when I played for free last night, I heard, I'm like, people like, It's the women.
What you want to hear? What song make you go?
I'm gonna keep it 100. I want to hear whatever the women want to hear.
Right.
I want to see.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right.
Be on that cool shit.
But right now, one dance.
It depends what kind of mood you catch me. Because like I said, anything Drake, shout out to the boy. Anything he's putting out right now is fire. Right. So Controller, One Dance, all that is fire. But I hit you on Twitter the other day.
Oh, he need a Jeezy
I'm
set.
I'm all about a good Jeezy set. I'm all about
it. Yeah, that's his guy.
You played a hell of a Hove set at the opening of Frankie's Pool.
Oh,
okay. To Frankie and Rome on the opening of the new store.
FHC, yeah. Congratulations.
You played a hell of a old school Hove set. But I love me a Jeezy, a dope boy Jeezy set.
I'm about to get my equipment hooked up at the house. I'm gonna do a Jeezy mix.
You need to do that.
I did
that's,
Jeezy last night.
That's Thug Motivation 101.
That's
when them bottles come out and some Jeezy drops.
It is. So that's gonna go into this. Oh, go ahead.
You have a second one, or you agreed with him on the Uzi?
If I need to turn it up, not women wise, I think I might go a little Uzi Money Longer.
Okay.
But that's gonna go into music.
Okay, go ahead.
We never really picked your brand on mute.
Okay.
So this is a very tough question. I know in my group, we always talk about this.
Talk to me.
Five albums. What's your top five?
Shit. Albums.
Albums. You only got five. Like, man, you know, you can pick any. You got five. This is what you
is this hip-hop or music?
Yeah, hip-hop. Okay. Hip-hop.
Reasonable Doubt.
Such a classic.
Illmatic.
Is this order or no? We're doing not
no,
order.
No
okay,
order.
Okay.
Reasonable Doubt.
It was written as better Illmatic, but we'll,
Illmatic.
We'll
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at
we'll
that.
Let's say that for another time. Another show. Reasonable Ill.
Brian really likes this new Instagram. Like he stays as my first person.
But you know he's not on
Snapchat.
He's not on Snapchat.
Yeah. But like, look.
It's like I've been doing Snap still more.
Like I really haven't.
I can go to the restaurant and get burgers and fries now. Like I don't have to go. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say this. I think Snapchat's out of here. I think it's over for them.
Think so?
Everything's in one stop
because of that.
But this doesn't load up as fast as Snapchat though.
Yes, but
they'll figure it out.
They're gonna update. They're working the kinks out right now.
I don't snap. I don't have a lot of followers.
And the reason I don't snap is because I didn't want to hold the camera up. But I'm on the thing just doing the exact same thing while I didn't snap. So I just never got into it.
I don't got a lot of followers on Instagram. I got 15,000 followers. On Snap, I might have 1,500 followers. So now when I post a video to Instagram, all my followers are
touching more people.
As opposed to, so I can see Snap being at it. Snap needs to figure some things out. Or they're out of here.
Dang.
I got Reasonable Doubt.
Illmatic.
I got Illmatic. I got DMX's first album.
Dark and Hell and Hot.
Yeah, listen for that, man. We listened to that. Sprint on our way to Columbus. Fire, like sounded like a fucking.
That man went platinum twice.
Sounded like a hurricane. No one had ever heard his style or anything like that.
He went platinum twice in 1 year. Come on, man.
No one's ever said that one.
That's three. Nope.
It's a good question. I gotta think about that.
You got your five over there.
Albums. Reasonable Doubt. Reasonable Doubt. Ready to Die.
Ray's album too.
That's my
house. Yeah, dang.
That's four for me. Yep.
I got the Only Built for Cuban.
I got nine New York on it. I got a lot of New York in there.
I mean, you know.
Only Built for Cuban Links. It's hard. I can't put a top five rapper together right now. Like, I can't.
Is Drake in the top five?
Right now, yes.
All time?
See, it's like.
No. It's a very simple question.
Yes.
Right now.
Ooh, I'm not saying I disagree. No, that's a big statement.
But see, it's crazy because there are artists like Fab and Pusha.
I agree with
that. You can't make a top five. And it's crazy because I feel like out of default, Biggie and Pac have to be in the top five.
Right, so that's two slots.
That's two slots already gone. You know what I'm saying?
Before you get started.
That before you even get started. So it's really only three. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
By the way, Jay.
So you really got two.
Did we catch Nas's little dart at Ye on the album. Did y'all catch that?
On Khaled's album?
Yeah.
What did he say?
What, the album was out? What did he say?
Y'all didn't catch that? As DJs, when he said, not everybody got an Escobar season.
Oh,
last
I did.
Time I checked, I was still breathing. He's going at Ye with the whole, I feel like Pablo. Listen to
oh, I mean, I heard it, but I didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last time he goes, now everybody got an Escobar season. Last time I checked, I was still breathing. So niggas feel like a Pablo. Like last time I checked, I was still breathing. Next freezing. Going back to the baby on the album cover.
Yeah, baby on the AC. Everybody was doing it. He's, yeah.
Little shot. Little like light little jab. Nothing crazy. Light little jab. So go ahead.
You got one more left.
I can't think of an album, but it's hard to think of people too because it's like I said, it's like. And then I grew up on so much music. You got Scarface. You got Outkast. You know what I'm saying? You got Snoop. Snoop is... How can Snoop not be in somebody's top five? Like, it's crazy. Like,
Snoop's not in my top five.
But I'm saying, like, he
I'm honest. Are you West Coast, East Coast? He was...
But Snoop's in your top five?
He could
the
be.
Album.
The album.
The Juice? I mean, The Dog Father? What's his first album? Doggy Style was a hell of a...
Think about it.
Doggy Style was a hell of a album.
Think about The Chronic. It's hard to make top fives.
I would love.
You gotta kind of do top tens.
I would love to have to been in the studio with Daz, Corrupt, Snoop, and Dre.
Yo, so I'll say this. This is a crazy story. So for those of you that don't know, I used to work at Beats by Dre. My first day in the office, Omar Johnson, who you guys know very well. What up, O? He listens to your show, loves it.
Oh, what up?
Omar's the CMO of Beats by Dre. He comes to my dad. I didn't even have an office. Comes to my desk. He's like, hey, I need you to come to a meeting with me. I'm like, sure, no problem. My first day, I don't even know where the snack machine is at this point. We walk out the building. We go across the street. We go to the Universal building. So we're going to Jimmy Iovine's office at Interscope. Go into his office. First of all, his office looks like a living room. There's no laptop. There's no desk. It's a living room. Couches, a console, biggest speakers you ever seen in your life, biggest flat screen you ever seen in your life. Pictures of him and Bono, Eminem, Bruce Springsteen, John Lennon, like the craziest shit you've ever seen. Dre's sitting there. It's my first day at Beats by Dre, and Dr. Dre is sitting on the couch. So I'm like, keep your shit together.
Right.
Act together. Act like you scored a touchdown before. Drop the football and run to the sideline. So I walk in. I'm like, what am I gonna call him? Like, Dre? Dr.
Doctor,
Dre? What am I calling
him? Mr. Doctor?
I'm like, boss? Because he's Beats by Dre. So I walk in. I'm like, he's like, Omar introduced me, like, hey, he's our new director of marketing, blah, 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 blah. And Dre was like, what's good, young fella? How are you? I'm like, Dre, huge fan, man. You know, pleasure to meet you, whatever. You know, I was like, keep it together, P. Keep it together. And I say that to say, we got to talking, whatever, and somehow The Chronic came up. And I asked him, and I was like, you know, what was it like when you did The Chronic? Like, he's like, I couldn't get a deal. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I shopped it to everyone.
The Chronic.
He said, no one wanted it. And I said, okay, so let me ask you this. When you say you shot The Chronic, like, what version of it? He goes, The Chronic you heard
is exactly
what I was shopping around, and no one wanted it.
Come on, man.
That's wild.
Like, so, like, we got any young people out there listening to the show, whatever? Like, yo,
that's crazy.
Like, ride for your dream, man. Can you think about that?
What if The Chronic would have never dropped?
Think about that. What if people was like, you know what? Maybe forget. They're right.
This ain't for me. What? We wouldn't have Beats by Dre.
He said he shot The Chronic.
We wouldn't have Snoop. We wouldn't have Beats by Dre.
Think about Jay. Jay was like, yo, nobody went to Silence, so that's how they formed Rock. Like, think about that. He's like, yo, we was renting cars, showing up to the club and spending mad money, you know, renting GSs and stuff like that, so people could be like, oh, these dudes really about that life. Like, really Rockefeller. Like, so, Dre said he shopped The Chronic as it. The Chronic's an ill album. I mean, that's tough. I got four. I got to think about that fifth. That's a crowded space.
I'm going.
Go.
It Was Written.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Reasonable.
Yep.
The Infamous.
Oh, Cuban.
Yep.
How many is that?
That might be five.
You so four. New York. You so Queens.
Hip hop, man.
Damn. Now you just made me want to go East 99, but I ain't say no big either.
Hey, what?
Yeah, you got it. By the way, East 99, that's a classic album.
Hold up. And I have no shame in my game, like I said. I told you guys before we started filming or recording this, I told you guys, I have made it my business to never give anyone advice on anything they're better at me than. So like I said, I would never give you guys DJ advice. You guys are better DJs than me, right? So I say that to say there's no shame in my game when it comes to something I don't know or me. I always hit you like, yo, what's that song you played, whatever. What's that song you played, Floss, in Toronto, Wildflower?
Murder, UGK. It was the last song of the night.
I was like, what?
was looking. I said he definitely on that.
UGK.
Who's going word for word?
No,
I'm going to flip VIP upside down.
UGK.
Word for word.
Bun B, Pimp C, Murder.
Well, it's Bun B. So I'm
because I got big in Atlanta and the free world lack.
That went crazy.
Yo, it was so crazy. It was so crazy. So, of course, we go crazy. But it just happened to be some dudes from Houston standing right next to me. Left. They was they looked at me like, what?
I ain't never seen that.
Y'all it was like
I performed. No, I was tired after that song.
Y'all went and you let that whole joint
You rock. Had to. I had to.
Whole joint rock.
As soon as it was over. We out. We go. Like, close the computer, we out.
I mean, him the next time, I'm like, yo, what was that false play?
He's Murder.
Like,
Bun B,
like.
Bun B, Pimp C, Murder. Murder.
Yeah. That came out in 96, by the way.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So you want your five? Did you say your five?
I can't.
Albums?
I named four.
Okay.
And it's between East 1999, Bone, and.
That's some Cleveland shit.
Life, that's a classic album, though.
But by the way, whatchamacallit, like, by the way, a Bud Rim soundtrack.
Couldn't help but notice your pain.
Ooh!
It runs
the Great White Hype! The Great White Hype soundtrack!
The only two soundtracks that really matter is Menace.
And a Bud Rim.
Like, that's the real debate. Which one is better?
Brown Sugar had, I mean, that ain't hip hop, but let's. Brown Sugar had a great soundtrack.
Menace. I think Above the Rim is ridiculous.
No, Bud Rim is.
Yeah. Pac, all
the culture.
Like, Nate Dogg, Warren G, Regulate.
When you talk about
SWV,
two of the greatest urban movies, like you talk about Menace and Above the Rim, like I might go watch Menace like when I leave here.
Dang.
I would like. It would be dope if they like put all those movies back in the theater again and gave and did another
like
run.
They did with Purple Rain.
Like they did with another run.
Come on, P, set that up.
I go. Well, we can make that.
RWT. Ooh.
Yeah, we're disgusting.
We're disgusting. All right, let's get yo. Let's wrap it up. Let's wrap this up. Too many ears listening. That right here. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm DJ Steph Floss.
Meal.
Wait, he had to finish taking a drink. That's why.
Meal's drunk.
Do it like this.
And we got our guy, PR, Mr. RWT. Man, thank you for joining us,
man. Thank you for having me.
We've been trying to get this show for years, by the way. We're going to do the show today.
I like to think of myself as a good guest. I showed up with a bottle of Douce.
And some champagne.
A bottle of rosé.
Yeah,
pizza.
And pizza. Listen.
Got me a haircut.
Listen. Hold up. Before we go, we're going to talk about this. So our good friend Nick, who happens to be LeBron's barber, I call him yesterday. I'm like, hey, can you come in town? Are you in town? Can you give me a cut tomorrow? He says, sure. I'm running behind schedule, blase, blase. So he hits me. He's like, I'm here. I'm like, oh, I forgot. Can you come up to Floss's apartment? He goes, no problem. Comes up. I get a cut. Floss is like, you know what? Should I get a cut? He gets a cut. So Floss goes to the back to his room or whatever. I ask Nick how much I owe him for the cuts. He's like, you owe me 40. And I said, all right, bet. I said, I'll pay for Floss's too. So I give him 80. He's like, no problem. Same time, the pizza comes that I ordered. So I said, Floss, how much? So Floss,
so I'm in the bathroom. So I yell, I don't know if anybody here, but I yell, I'm like, the door. Man. And then I walk out, I don't see it. So I go to the door.
So he goes and gets the pizza.
So the pizza guy, I'm like, all right, how much is it?
So he's walking in with the pizza now. And I said, Floss, how much I owe you? He said, don't worry, I paid for it. It was $13. He goes, how much was my cut? I said, I got your cut. He goes, okay, we're even. By the way, his cut was $40. The pizza was $13. So I don't know what kind of math they're teaching here, but listen, I came through with a bottle of rosé, a bottle of douce, a pizza pie, and a haircut. If that don't earn me an invite back for the show,
So we out of here. This will probably be a two-part segment. It might be. I don't know. I don't know how to read that.
He's never even seen this.
I've never seen 3,000. So we out of here, y'all. The Good Guys Podcast About Nothing, episode 11, sponsored by Toronto Lay's
ketchup
potato chips
and
Douce. Kelp, what up?